You are listening to the podcast of Lancaster Covenant Church. We seek to worship God, tell others about Jesus Christ, nurture new believers, and grow together in the knowledge and love of our Savior.
There you go. Thank you. Good to see you all here today. Okay, we are on. Welcome to worship this morning. Thank you for joining us. If you are listening out in podcast land or Facebook land or wherever you are, I'm going to go through a few announcements so you know what's going on in our church in Northwest Minnesota. We are celebrating birthdays. Sandy Wilson, your birthday is tomorrow. That's nice. Now they know it all over the world. And Wednesday, we have birthdays Angus Wilson and Noah Vig. Thursday, we have Betty Waleski with a birthday and Katie Sullivan. And then on Saturday is the famous James Diamond. Happy birthday, everyone. There is also a Pampered Chef bridal shower for Megan Nygaard, bride-to-be of Vaughn Pankratz. That shower is tomorrow, Monday at 6:30 at the Gazebo Park in Lancaster. And you are all welcome to attend that as well. Martha Knutson is having a birthday party, her 90th birthday, so if you'd like to join them for a celebration, that'll be held at the Community Center on Saturday at 2 o'clock. And we are also celebrating two lives this week as they went home to be with the Lord. We're remembering Debbie Harlow. Debbie passed away very unexpectedly. And her service is tomorrow at 11 o'clock. We will be doing the service at the cemetery in Lake Brunson. You are welcome to attend. There will be no lunch or anything afterwards, but it'll be a celebration of Debbie's life. Also, we are also celebrating Lorraine Dunn's life here on Wednesday. So, and that is at 2 o'clock. That'll be here at the church. And then following that, there'll be coffee and some bars and cookies at the community center. So you are more than welcome to attend there as well. We are limited to 45 people at the community center, but we'll watch that. And if more come, we'll wait till the cookies are done, and then we'll let the rest of you in when I'm done having cookies. But if you would come out and just celebrate Lorraine's life, that would be awesome. That is at 2 o'clock this Wednesday. And also this morning, we are blessed with having Ben and Courtney Pilkvist with us. They are going to bring us a message of what God's been doing in their life and also bringing us a message from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to us today. So please stand and join us, and we're going to open today with the first song, Hallelujah, Your Love is Amazing. Okay, let's sing.
Your love is amazing. Yeah.
Thank you. You may be seated, and I'm going to have you stand up in a little bit, but we're going to announce our time of offering. So if you have an offering that you'd like to send in, you can see online. You can do that as well, but if you are somewhere and you have a local church, please support your local church, and we will continue the ministries that God has called us all to. I also would like to encourage you to send in prayer requests. We have several prayer requests that have been sent already, and some that we really need to take home. So I'd encourage you to write them down and pray throughout the week. There's been definitely some tragedies that have been going on all across our land, and we just need to keep our country, keep our families in prayer. I know just this morning I had received an announcement of over this past week there have been several churches that have been burned, and some real devastating things between Florida and California. So we just need to keep continuing to pray. God is alive, and we don't need to live in fear. So we just need to hold that up in prayer and encourage those around us who are going through some tough times right now. But God is faithful, and he is always here for us. So we can praise God for that. Amen to that. So I'm going to ask the praise team to come up. We're going to sing Hope of the Nations, very fitting for a time like this to sing Hope of the Nations. We encourage you to sing along with us, and as I said, this is our time of offering. Also the time to send in prayer requests, and I'm going to pray for this song, pray for our offering, and then we will begin. Heavenly Father, we praise you for today, God. We pray that you would guide us. God, you are amazing. Lord, there is no need for us, God, to be discouraged or to live in fear, because we know that you are sovereign. You are holy, and your work will be completed just as you said. Nothing can stop that, Lord, and we praise you for that. So, God, we pray right now, God, for everyone who is listening today or people that are who are here, Lord, help us to walk in faith, God, not by sight. Help us to not fix our eyes on this world, but to fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter of our life, perfecter of our faith, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand and sing. We will sing Hope of the Nations. Jesus is. Thank you. Please be seated.
Prayer requests. Yes, Tom.
Yes, first of all, I want to thank the Lord, dear Lord above, for his continuing wisdom for all the world to see and for the leaders of this nation who, in my knowledge, continue their true leadership. And I want to thank this church for their continuing prayer for in our behalf and for the whole church to understand the true wisdom that is delivered here to all of us.
Thank you, Tom.
In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you. Julie. Thank you. Anybody else? John.
I'd just like a prayer for Sandy and Jerry Elper. Jerry has heart surgery on Tuesday. She's scared and needs prayer. And Sandy doesn't also. She just needs prayer.
Thanks, John. Sue.
I'm asking for prayer for my hip. I've got a little glitch with it, and it's giving me quite a bit of pain, and so we're just hoping it's going to settle down.
Okay.
And also for Susan Weaver, who's really battling a long, hard battle.
Okay, thank you. Peggy. What time did you say that starts?
3:15 to 5.
Okay. All right. Lisa.
Okay. So, continued prayer for John Cole's girlfriend's mom, Cece. She had her hand amputated after an ATV accident.
Okay. Okay.
Also, he's got a couple friends. Their name is Mark and Rachel. They lost their house in a fire. It's a complete loss. Continue prayer for Bob Jensen as he suffered a major heart attack last week and not doing well.
Okay.
And then Dan's brother Mike is home recovering from shoulder replacement surgery this week.
And I sent out yesterday and again today an update on Ida's brother. I think you say it, Didi, who was in a motorcycle accident in Indonesia, and so he's. It's talked about the brain is still swelling and different things this morning, so we just really need to lift up him and Ida and their whole family. Anyone else? Faye. Anything else? I think we have a bunch going to Blue Water this week, do we, Christy?
Yes, we've got 11
health graders going to camp this week. Okay. And I think we can praise that we're able to use the bus the next week when we have a large crew. So that's awesome. Okay. Anything else? All right, I just also want to praise for the women's retreat this week. I thought it was great, and so thank you for that. Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, first of all, we just want to come before you and just hold you up in the glory that you deserve. We just rejoice in that we know you and that we can come to you with all things. But most of all, we just praise you for dying on the cross and allowing us that chance to have salvation and to know that we have eternal life. And we just thank you for the peace that comes with that. We just praise you that we can gather here together, even though it's different, Lord. We are here, and we thank you for that. We thank you for those online, Lord God. We just pray your blessings upon them. We pray for wisdom for our nation, Lord God. We just pray that you would put people in places that can speak truth and wisdom into our leaders, that you would just bring things before them that would help them to make good judgment calls, and that you would just also help our health professionals and all of those all over the nation that are dealing with this COVID, that you would just give them wisdom and help us all, Lord God, to just be smart in how we conduct ourselves and the things that we do. And we just pray for those who have lost loved ones, whether it's through COVID or cancer or other diseases or accidents in the last months when it's just been so hard to be together. We pray, God, that you would comfort them, that you would give them the just compassion, that you would just help them, Lord, to feel your presence. We pray for Jerry Alper with his with her upcoming surgery on Tuesday, Lord God, and we just pray that you would be with her, just give her a calmness and help her to know, Lord, that you are there. And we pray for Sandy also as you just continue to help him with his health. Lord, we pray for Sue that you would just strengthen her hip, that you would just help this pain that's come back, Lord God, to go away again. And we pray that she would be doing what she's supposed to and not doing what she's not supposed to, Lord. We just pray that you would help her to take care of that so that it can heal properly. Lord, we pray for Susan Weaver, and we just pray, God, that you would just be with her, that she would know your presence, that you would just enable her family to be able to visit her, and that you would just bless their time together. We pray for healing if that is what you desire, Lord God, and if not, God, we just pray that you would keep her comfortable in this time. We lift up 5-Day Club, Lord, that's at Peggy, and we thank you for her faithfulness to continue to serve in this way, and we pray that you would just bless the youth that are coming to provide the leading, and we pray that you would just bring the kids, Lord Jesus, that need to be there. We pray, God, that you would just lay it upon their hearts, and we pray that you would just bless this time as they come together Tuesday through Friday, Lord. We thank you. We continue to pray for Annette in the loss of her arm in this ATV accident, Lord Jesus, and what an adjustment of her hand, of what an adjustment it will be. God, we just pray that you will help that transition to go well. We pray that you would be with her husband, Dave, and just reveal to him, Lord God, your presence and that you are in charge of all things, God, and just give him comfort and help him to not worry. We pray also for Mark and Rachel, Lord God, that people would just come alongside them and help them in the loss of their home. We thank you that no one was at home when this happened, and we just pray, God, that you will help them in this rebuilding time, and it's just so difficult to lose our home. We pray for Bob Jensen, who's had this major heart attack, God. We just pray that you would help him to heal and recover. And as always, God, we just pray that there would be nurses and doctors that would also just speak truth and life into him through your word. We pray for the young adults and the youth all over the country, Lord God, that they would be seeking you. God, help us all of all ages to just seek you, because you are the only one that offers peace and no fear. And we just pray that this would be a great time of revival and turning to you, and that it would be constant and that we would just not let go when things get better, but we would hang on and just really live in your presence and in your will. We pray for the upcoming weddings in the next weeks, Lord God. We just pray that you would bless Galen as he does premarital counseling. We pray that you would just prepare hearts and minds, and that you would just bless these young couples for their future ahead and just guide them and lead them. We pray for Mike Vogley as he's recovering from shoulder replacement. God, just really help him to be able to do the exercises that are needed, and that we would just pray for strength and recovery to come quickly for him. Pray for Ida's brother. God, he's so far away, and it's hard on family that's here, God, to not be able to be there and help and just comfort. We just pray for Dee Dee that he would, the swelling would go down, that he would be able to recover from this. And we just pray for Ida and her family, Lord God, as they wait for answers, and just pray for wisdom for the doctors. We praise you, God, that Seth and Renata could be here. And we just thank you so much for just everything that you give us. We pray that you would just bless them on their trip back to Arizona and guide them. We pray for Chuck, God, that you would just help these headaches, help him to find what is going on, and just relieve him of these headaches, Lord Jesus. We praise you for Blue Water and the servanthood that goes on there, and just the great ministry. We just pray that you'll continue to watch over them, protect them, guide them, lead them, bless those counselors and Chad and Micah and the cooks, and just guide all of them, Lord Jesus. We pray for the students who'll be going in this week and upcoming weeks, that you would just prepare their hearts and minds, and that you would just lead them. We thank you also for the ability to be able to take a school bus when we have so many going in a few weeks. We thank you, God, for that. And we just thank you also for the women's retreat on Wednesday and Thursday, and for the beautiful setting and just the ability to be able to share with one another testimonies and devotions and to have some fun together and fellowship together. We thank you, God, for that. And we pray for the families of Debbie and Lorraine this week and in the future, Lord God, that you would just continue to comfort them. And I also pray for Ross's family, God, that you would just continue to guide and comfort them. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Julie. I did have a couple thank yous that I wanted to mention, too. As you know, Julie and I had to leave in a hurry last week. I think it was a week.
It's Thursday night, yeah.
Been a lot going on. So, but John Erkes, I surprised him, and all of a sudden he just takes the task on and preaches for us, and what a huge blessing. So thank you, John. And also John Nygaard, I also had a committal for a lady from International Falls in Halleck, and I promised the family I would be there, and I called John as his new duty as chaplain, his first ever committal. And he said yes right away. And when he went there, just to show you how God is in all of this, it's just crazy. We think we've been through 6 months of chaos. When John did the service, he had ties through CBP with the family in International Falls, so he was really able to relate to them and minister to them. So I know John's not here. He's working, I imagine. But if you see him, thank you. He did his first committal, and that's a little... For the first time, it's a little bit hard, especially when you don't know the family. But John did an amazing job, so thank you, both of you. And thank all of you for all the time and for Ben and Courtney being here again this morning. What a blessing. Julie and I are also leaving. We will be here next Sunday. We'll be preaching and finishing up our series that we'll be talking about. The last part of a four-part series, I think it lasted 11 weeks, but I'm not sure. And God only knows, right? But there's so much in this world that we fear, and we don't need to. And that's what's important. That's what we need to hang on to. I shared this yesterday with, I can't remember who it was with, but we were talking. Oh, I know who it was. We were talking about something that I'd heard this week, and about three ones that were really important. First of all, there's one God. There's one problem, and it's sin. And there's one Savior, and he's the solution. Doesn't matter who you are. One God, one problem, one Savior. That's all we need, right?
Right.
Amen. So let's stand and sing. We're going to sing with excitement because we don't need to fear anymore. So praise team, come on up, and everyone stand. Let's sing with power, and let's sing our hearts out. I will fear no more.
Every anxious thought that steals my breath, it's a heavy weight upon my chest. As I lie awake and wonder what the future will hold, help me to remember that you're in control. You're my courage when I worry in the dead of night. You're my strength as I'm not strong enough to win this fight. You are greater than the battle raging in my mind. I will trust you, Lord. I will fear no more. I will lift my eyes. I will lift my gaze. Lay them in your hands. I'll leave them there. When the wind and waves are coming, you shelter me. Even though I'm in the storm, the storm is not in me. You're my courage when I worry in the dead of night. You're my strength because I'm not strong enough to win this fight. You are greater than the battle raging in my mind. I will trust you, Lord. I will fear no more. Oh, I will fear no more. Oh, I will fear no more.
Sing with confidence. God who stays, he's always here.
Just like
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, that you say that the work that you began in us, you will complete. And you are the God who stays. You are the God who gives us everything that we need, God. We don't need to live in fear anymore. Help us to hold on to that truth, Lord. Help us to fix our eyes on you, Jesus. For you are the author of our faith. You are the protector of our faith, and you will guide us and bring us home. God, help us to live, God, faithfully for you. And we pray this, Lord Jesus, in your name. We pray for Ben and Courtney as they come now, God, that you would just speak through them to us. And may you be glorified, God, in our lives today. And we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Wow, it works. 1, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, right? So much fun to be here. Thank you so much for having us again. And we just would love to share what has happened over the last year since we last were here. The world has changed a lot, and the sanctuary has also changed a lot. But thank you, Jesus, that we can be here. We can be here, we can meet together and come together and worship God again. So since we were here last time, we went to Montana and we did a School of Biblical Studies with youth with a mission there. And Courtney will tell you a little bit what we learned during this time. But just as a brief overview what the school is, you probably have heard a bunch of it because Zach Joshek has been involved with it and stuff like that, but it's a school where you study through the Bible in 9 months. You're using a Bible study method called the inductive Bible study method, which is a little like becoming a detective. You're coming into the Bible and you're looking for the things that you missed the first time you read it. And every time you read it, you realize you missed something more. And we do that 5 times, and then I come back to it now and I still realize I missed something more. So it's a great experience of learning how to continue to study the Bible.
Just to kind of expand on that a little bit, it was a really incredible time, really unique, because how often do we get 9 whole months where the only thing that we do is study the Bible? That's all we did for 9 months was read the Bible over and over and over. We went through book by book. We started in the New Testament and we finished in the Old Testament. And it was a really cool thing. For me, I grew up in the church. I grew up going to Sunday school, and it was really cool to see the Bible in its whole context because I've never even read it like whole like that before. I've only read like bits and pieces here and there. So it was really cool to like see it as one story and realize that it really is one story from beginning to end, from Genesis to Revelation. There's so many connections like that. That God has just started his story from one place and he's continued to take it. And he still is writing his story with us today. But so it was really cool to realize that the Bible is really one whole book in and of itself. And that there's more to the Old Testament than Sunday school stories. I think that's what I kind of expected. It's just, you know, all the fun stories you do in Sunday school. But you can really see God's character in the Old Testament as well. And realizing that his character in the Old Testament is the same as his character in the New Testament. I think I went in with this mindset of God was so different in the Old Testament. He was so angry and just, I didn't like the God of the Old Testament. I liked the God of the New Testament. But it was really cool to study for myself and realize that they are the same. And I think that's something that I've been taught before, but it was just something that really sunk in when I was studying it for myself. And then, like Ben was saying, you're never done studying the Bible. Like, there's always more to it. And I think that's just the coolest thing that I really fell in love with, was that God is always teaching us through the Bible. Like, it's not outdated. It's not boring and old. But, there's always something new that we can learn from it. And, yeah.
Yeah, and it was a fantastic time of just seeing other people, as long as alongside ourselves, falling in love with the Bible. I didn't really like the Bible. I liked the God in the Bible, but it was kind of boring to read the Bible. But the Bible came alive. I found a love for the Bible. And studying the Bible with 50 other people in small little dorms, that gets pretty quick. You're just so excited because that's what everyone talks about. That is what everyone is doing from most people from 6 in the morning till 10 at night. You're studying the Bible or worshiping God. So it was a very transformative, amazing time to do this. But halfway through this school, we were actually approached of coming back to staff. So this is where we are heading now after this. We're just home for a month now. We're building a support team. We're building ministry team. And this is all thanks to you guys that we can do this. Because we would never have gone to this school. We would never had these relationships with people or these experiences and these transformative times if you guys wouldn't have backed us up when we were here last time. So thank you so much for partnering with us last time. It was an amazing time, and you're playing a big part in this, both in direct through your prayer, your encouragement, and your finances that you gave us last time, but also indirect, which I was thinking about last night. I couldn't sleep, and I was just thinking, like, how Lancaster has actually impacted us more than I can even imagine. Even indirect, through helping Zach Joshek and Brooke Joshek to be there for so many years, they have become incredible people that is just spreading the love of God out there, that has transformed our life. I didn't really know Zach going out there, but he, as soon as he heard that we were even considering coming back, he has been sending me links to apartments and encouraged us and like, oh, you do this and this and this, and just been super encouraging because he has been given that opportunity to spread the love of the Bible and spread the love of Jesus to people. And it's like, there is a need for more of that. So that is what drives us to do this, that we're seeing the need that people need to know more of who God in the Bible is. That gives me hope. I came in and the same like Courtney, the Bible was scary. The Old Testament God was pretty, he was pretty angry, I thought. But realizing he just did it in different ways, but it's the same love that we see in the New Testament that is shown in the Old. How there's always hope. Everything that God is doing in throughout the whole story of the Bible is to bring more people to him and to see his people succeed. So that's a little bit what we have done and what we are going to do. And if there is anyone that want to know more, we would love to talk with you guys. We're here for 2 more weeks about, and we have plenty of time. So it would be super fun to sit down and grab a coffee with you guys if you have more questions. And it's hard to cram it in into just a short time, but or just talk with us afterwards. But this morning, as I was praying for this message, I was thinking, oh, let's bring the inductive study to them. But I think God had a different plan. Because as I started to pray, and I'm like, okay, where should I go from? And God is like, no. And the words I heard was unity and love them bros. And love them bros is just a little tidbit of one of our teachers who was teaching from 1 John. So I immediately went to 1 John and like, okay, what is happening? What does God wanted to say? So this morning, we're going to go out of the text from 1 John 3:16 for 18. So if you have Bibles, you can turn there. Otherwise, I will read everything for us. So, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brothers in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. And I came to this text, and I'm like, okay, what does this mean? And my little detective thing goes on straight away. I'm like, okay, so how would I have studied this in my school? So I'm starting to look up in some dictionaries and some study Bibles. So like, what is the message of 1 John? And why is he writing these things? And what is the purpose of this text being placed just there and perfectly in where God wanted it? So I looked up what most scholars believe to be the main idea of 1 John, and has nothing to do with this, but it fits so well into the greater scheme of the story. But what John was doing in the book as a whole, you find more in the later chapters, where he was actually trying to correct all the heretic teachings that was out there. Because they didn't struggle with the same things we do. We have a lot of struggles in our churches, but they were struggling with things because they had nothing defined. Who is Jesus? What was Jesus? So there was a lot of teachings out there where they were like, you know, Jesus, he was a good guy. He wasn't the Son of Man. Or in certain ways, some other people had other beliefs where, yeah, you know, Jesus, he's kind of the spirit that was temporarily on this Jesus guy. These heresies is not necessarily things we have so much of in our churches today. They were defined by the early church around the first 400 years after Jesus. So we don't struggle with that. But wonderfully, the Bible speaks to us today too. He didn't leave us with a message that was like had no purpose for us. But instead, we can see that John is instructing them how to live. How would Jesus want you to live? But what blew my mind was I realized that these people knew the stuff that he's writing here. That's not new to them. He is reminding them of this is who you're called to be walking like. You're focusing on the wrong things. You're teaching things that is not true. But these are the truths about who you are and who Jesus is. So in 3:16 through 18, he's calling us to live and love our brothers, our church body. Here he's focusing more on the church immediately than the broader neighbors, as we see in Exodus and in the commandments, which doesn't take away from that. It's just he's reminding them, you need to love your brothers. This message, when I was writing it, it really struck me hard because it was tough to write. So today I'm preaching equally amount to my own soul as I'm preaching to you, or reminding you of what you know and reminding me of what I know but have forgotten. But I was also reminded of this story of my life there where this was so prominent, where it went from a really, really good community to not equally good of a community, and seeing how inattractive a community without unity and love for each other is. We were in Switzerland. We were with YWAM there for a couple of years. We were leading the DTS. And we lost our leader with 3 weeks before we're starting our school. So we're standing there and it's like, okay, what do we do now? And we turned to what we knew. We were worshiping. So we all, as a whole community, we were a small community, but we didn't stop. We were worshiping every day. We were on our knees. We were before God. And we were like, we cannot do this on our own. We need your help. And we became so tight during those 3 weeks. We were what we thought were an unbreakable little crew of people. We were so focused. And the amazing thing is, when the students came in, this school was the fastest to adapt to our culture, to our community. They never needed to warm up. We had such a unity in our little group that they were immediately like, no, 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 no. I'm coming in. I'm coming in. So they didn't like standing on the sideline kind of watching it. It was immediately like, no, I have to be a part of that. And just like running into the group. And they're seeing those students. They were so on fire from the first week on. There was no stop. They were just, we're going there. We're not going to be outside of this. They have something we want, and we're going to take it. After a couple weeks, things got busy. Our lives got busy in the community, And we were not all directly involved in the school. And it was kind of separation. And somehow, this weird little competition of who can have the best relationship with a student started. Of course, no one was thinking that, and that was the purpose of it. But that's what happened. And you immediately saw that the students did the same things. The students slowly started to form their own little groups. They turned out really good anyway, but they wasn't equally efficient anymore. We lost a little bit of our efficiency in that season because we as a team of leaders couldn't keep together. But when we were together and working together for the same goal, we were extremely efficient. And I think this text is kind of hitting at that too. And parallel text that is supporting this too. God is trying here to tell them, you guys need to love each other. You need to be so excited about what your brothers are doing. Your ministry is going to be so more efficient. People are going to come for you. They're not going to want to stand there far away and look at you. When you have something so special as love towards each other, people are drawn to that and just want to launch into that. But back to John. I'm sorry, that took a little longer than I had hoped. He's starting a little earlier in chapter 3. He's telling the story of Cain from Genesis 4. Reminding of them how Cain was evil. He did evil and he was jealous of his righteous brother Abel. And he killed him. He was separated from God in that moment. We see in that story that he hated his brother. Made a separation. But thankfully, John doesn't leave his readers there. Not us or the original first century readers. In 16, he gives us the cure. It's not too late. We are not walking outside of this. We have the possibility of not living in that death that Cain were living in. We can love. We can love each other, and we can build a community. We see in verse 16, in the second part, that he laid down his life for us. That he is Jesus. So we're talking about a sacrificial love. Jesus died on the cross. He didn't even... It was not just he did good things. He was willing to go to death for the sake of human beings. And that is the example that John is using for the love that he is preaching that we're supposed to carry with us for our brothers and sisters. And Jesus is also setting up this idea shortly before he's crucified. In John 15 and 13, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. He's talking about a sacrificial love for his friends, for his family, for the church body as a whole. A little before that, in 13, 34, 35 of John, the Gospel of John, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. But this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have the love for one another. Here John is like, okay, you guys see this? If you love like Jesus loved you, that is a sign. People are going to see this, like I talked about earlier. People are going to want to be launched into this community. They're going to be wanting to be a part of this group that we call the body of Christ. And he is not the only one who talks about that either. In Philippians 2:17, Paul is also talking about the similar things. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith. I am glad and rejoice with you all. Here we see Paul, one of the bigger authors in the New Testament. Even to death, I will rejoice with you. To death, I'm going to love you. It's a next level love, and it's just because he knows that this will spread the good news. This love will bring so much people to Jesus because that is attractive. And it's exciting to see this. And it's encouraging to see a group of people that is like, you guys are different. You do something weird. Why is this? And I think we can do that in our community and in our greater community too, as the global church. And everyone play their own role. And I think it's just beautiful. But as I was looking for this, I was reminded of so many different Old Testament places too. So I realized this is not a new concept. God is not like making this up as Jesus came. He already did that in the early stages of creation. Even in Genesis 2, you can see the unity of family for Adam and Eve. Like, there was love introduced of spreading the love and showing that God created us for that relationship. But we also see what is happening when Cain is separating himself out of that relationship, out of that family, where he's like, no, I hate you. I'm going to kill you. And he was separated. He was no longer there. In Exodus 20, the Ten Commandments is also pointing in this direction. We shouldn't be jealous of our neighbors. We shouldn't do evil. We should do good. We should love each other, and we should love God. We should walk in these things. And throughout the Old Testament, we see this idea of loving brothers and serving each other everywhere. And Jesus is not just saying this is in John, but also in Matthew, we find things that is pointing at this the same direction. When he is answering a Pharisee in Matthew 22, 36 through 40, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to him, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and a second is like it. You should love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend on all the law and the prophets. Love God, love others. And John is just focusing in 1 John on loving the brothers, because that's where it starts. If we can't love our brothers, can we really truly love the people around us? How does this look like? When you do an inductive study, you start with observe, interpret, apply. So I was like, okay, I've observed and interpret, but where does this leave us today? How do we actually apply this today? And I'm not here to point fingers, and I'm not here to teach you something you don't know. I'm here to remind you that the love for the brothers is so important. And I believe, especially in times like this, when it's tough, where we have different opinions, we can't really know what is going on. Everything is so unclear, and we don't really know what to do. But what we know is God is good, God loves us, and we're called to love him. So one thing that I was reminded of is just, I believe that in a season like this, we need to look past all the stuff that we have that is different. Because that is going to cause so much friction, and it's just going to tear our body of Christ apart. We are okay. It's okay to have different opinions and thoughts and beliefs of what is actually happening in the world today. But we as a body of Christ should gather among the truth that God is good. God is in control. If something that I've really, really felt throughout this whole school is the hope of God. Even when I even found the hope of God more in the Old Testament, when God is creating a nation, when Israel is out there and is just slaughtering people, it's not hopeful. But the heart behind it is so hopeful. He is trying to build a nation because he wants to have a relationship with us. So as I was not sleeping last night at 1:30, I was like, okay, I got it now. We need to stand unified. We need to walk together. We need to love each other even when we don't have the same opinions. It has been a challenge. I'm coming from a very different country with a very, very different culture. I don't look at the world the same as a lot of people in this area. Does that mean that I don't love you guys? No. Does that mean that it's hard to sometimes not get frustrated at people? It's sometimes hard to not get frustrated at people. But I have to remind myself, don't let this separate us. Let this bring us together. We hear about all these catastrophes happening everywhere. People are dying. There is so much taken away from us as a body. For a while, we couldn't meet, and people got really, really frustrated. And I understand that frustration. At the same time, times like this in the Bible is what brings revival. Times like this in distress, when people are in frustration, and for us it's so hard to see. People are dying. It's just a mess. But that's when God is like coming in and we see people getting saved. So often in the Old Testament, we see, even in Egypt, when there was the plagues, it's not mentioned so prominent, but you can find it throughout different places in the Bible. There was a bunch of Egyptians that turned to God. They were about to die. They had no food. All their animals died. It was just the plagues just took out Egypt. And for sure, not all, but some of the Egyptians realized who they were dealing with. They were seeing these things and was like, okay, we understand. We need to turn to this God that is doing this because he's greater than us. And it doesn't say that straight out, but throughout genealogies, which is the most boring thing to read ever, especially when you need to sit and read like 12 chapters of them in one sitting out loud, that's just a pain. But in those genealogies, we find a bunch of weird Egyptians that somehow follow them out. This gives me hope. In times like this, when the world is in chaos, all you guys out here don't need to be afraid. Because what is the life on earth worth compared to life in heaven? We're not fighting for a great life here. We're fighting for our life and other people's lives to be eternal. So, this is why I think we need to figure out how to love each other even better than we are already doing. And this is maybe a little heavy. I was sitting and like, can I really preach this? And I took away some stuff that maybe, you know, it's a little even more. But I don't want to leave you guys there either, because you guys are already loving the brothers and the sisters in the community. Does that mean that you're perfect? No, guaranteed not. None of us are. We always need to continue to love more, learn more, and grow together. And grow in our faith. Grow in our knowledge of God's word and grow in relationship to each other. Because if we are unified, if we are loving each other, that is going to lead so many more people to Christ. If we are separated and frustrated at each other and we're gossiping and we're doing all these things that is not loving to each other. No one want to come and be a part of us. I would not want to be a part of that. But I mentioned that a little earlier. We have seen your guys' love, though. We got financial support from this church, from people in this church. We got prayer, and we got a ton of encouragement. Last time we were here, we were like walking on clouds going out because people were so, so, so excited about what we were doing. I have experienced your love. It's great. It's wonderful. I just think there is even more people that needs to experience that love. And as you guys are going to grow together and walk together through these times that we are in right now, I believe that you guys can set an example for the community. If you can stay unified and encouraging each other in this time. And I believe that that is what we're called to do as a global church these days too. We need to walk together in love to show people that God is good. We need to be the attractive place where there is hope. We can be the hope in a darkness that is so hard to get out of because the darkness is all around us. Actually, the pastor in Kennedy last week said, stop blaming the darkness. Blame the light. Because if there is too much darkness somewhere, the light is not doing what it's supposed to. That's paraphrased, but anyway. The idea of that is, don't look at the darkness. Look at what is good. Praise God. Focus on really looking towards Him in this season. Find the joy that is in God. Don't let fear cripple you to get you stumbling around. Let the love of God and the hope that He is coming back for us, let that be the driving force that we're not going to stumble around in the darkness. And I mentioned that earlier, but something else that I've seen you guys do and heard so much good things about you is from Zach. I had the benefit of getting to know him, having lunch with him a couple times, and just been hanging out a little bit with him. And how he talks about your community is wonderful. How he has been encouraged by you guys, how you guys have supported him through their ministry is wonderful. That is the love that you have spread for the brothers that has been taken out of this community into the next community that they can continue to spread this love. So I just want to encourage you guys, continue to become even greater at loving the brothers. Because as you are loving the brothers, you will be better at loving your neighbors. I think it starts inside and it moves out, rather than moving out from the outside and coming in. Both is going to work. But I believe that if we are starting from the inside, and as a church body, both here in Lancaster, but also as a global church body. If we can love each other, see past our differences, even if we have theological differences, there is just a few things that we should focus on. Do we believe in Jesus? Do we believe that He saves us? If we believe those things, I think we should try to see past our differences because we're still focusing on the same God. We're still focusing on praising Him. We can learn and we can figure out with help of this all the theological differences we are having. But if we can be a unified unit, we would be a very efficient community. So I just want to pray for you guys. And again, thank you. Thank you so much for having us. It's wonderful. And it is crazy to see so much people here in these times, and wonderful, and it's exciting. and exciting for all the people that is listening online. So, thank you. God, I just want to thank you. Thank you that you are moving in our hearts, that you are changing our hearts. You're molding them after your agenda. You are feeding us your love for each other, that we can become a unit, walking together, fighting for your glory, that you bring us hope, that we can be filled with your hope in these dark times, that we can look at this time as a hopeful time, where we can come before you, walk with you, and we know that no matter what is happening here, we are saved by you. Thank you, Jesus, for these people. Thank you for this time together. And bless these people as they go out and give them a heart to love each other even better. Amen. Thank you guys so much for having me, or us.
Thank you, Ben and Courtney. And we will pray for you at the end of our service. Let's stand and sing our final hymn. And so a praise team can come up. We're going to sing together. Sweet Hour of Prayer. Please sing out. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today, God. We praise you, God, that you have just provided this amazing love, God, for us, that you would love us so much that you would send your Son to live and die for us, God, is beyond our understanding. And yet, Lord, you tell us to love you with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. God, help us to love like you love, Jesus. We pray, God, that we would love our brothers and sisters in Christ, and that we would be the church that you've called us to be. Lord, you tell us how you prepare work in advance for us, that we are your masterpiece. God, help us to live like that. Help us to look to you every morning, God, and to seek your face. God, and to ask you, God, what do you have for me today? We thank you for Ben and Courtney, God, that you'd just bless them, encourage them. We pray for their ministry, Lord, that you would just prosper them in that, God. And Father, all this would be to your glory. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for attending worship this morning.
Thanks for listening to the Lancaster Covenant Church podcast. For more information on gathering times and the Lancaster Covenant Church community, please visit our website at lancastercovenant.com.